Welcome back. Would you believe that texting can negatively impact your marriage? Yes, it is time to put down your device, look your spouse in the eyes, and have a real-life conversation. Joining us to share some new research on marriage and texting is author and speaker Arlene Pelican. Good morning, Arlene. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bill?
Good.
You're not texting your wife right now, are you?
I am not. No, I'll do that during the break.
Okay.
Now, I have to admit, I was not particularly surprised by this study, but it is kind of sad nonetheless. What did the researchers at BYU find?
Yeah, they took 276 young adults, and these were people who were either married or they were in a very serious relationship or they were engaged, and they've asked them many, many questions about the impact of technology on their relationships. And so I think, obviously, you know, we know from common sense, if you walk into a restaurant and you see a couple at a table and they're both got their heads down and they're texting, you know, that's probably not the best for your relationship. But I think what was interesting about it was the different ways that men and women process these texts. Like, for instance, for women, they talked about that using text messages to do certain things, like make decisions or to apologize or to work out differences, that meant that was, you know, their satisfaction in the relationship was much lower. And that makes sense because a woman does not want to work out differences over a text. A woman wants to work out differences, you know, face-to-face and really flesh it out and use all the power of her words and not have to just limit it to what's on that little screen. Now, for men, it was like, man, if there is too much texting, you know, I'm receiving so many texts and I'm having to reply back to all these texts. This is exhausting. And for the men, they didn't like that very much.
You know, I can kind of sympathize. Not that my wife sends me too many texts. And I think in our relationship, it's kind of the opposite. I'm more of a texter and she's more of a quick response with a Y,
yeah,
or an N or a K.
Right.
But I can imagine, you know, for some guys, there can be this sort of wall of words coming at them through their mobile device, and it's constantly pinging them, and they're like, oh, what does she want now, or what? And
yes,
more stuff. And boy, you know, we're in a culture now where, and I know you've addressed this in your book with Gary Chapman, we're in a culture now where so many young people are not learning the skill of face-to-face communication, of being able to, you know, read nonverbal cues, to understand tone of voice, because so much of their preferred form of communication is texting. And I have some concerns about how this is going to ultimately impact younger marriages. Now, I know some of the people in the study were younger adults, but you just look at the teenagers today and you got to flash forward 10 years and say, you know, when they're married, yeah, in their 20s or in their 30s, and all of a sudden they've moved from, you know, all their communication is on this little screen to now they're face to face with somebody who they've got to engage with. And I've even heard stories, maybe you have as well, where kids will say, let's say that most of their relationship is on texting, and then all of a sudden they, you know, they start dating somebody, and it's like, man, it's just so weird to like be sitting across from them, like talking. Have you heard that as well?
Yes. And I think I don't know what to say to them. You know, in a text, it's like, okay, I've done a few sentences, I'm done. And then it's like when you're talking, it's like, oh, okay, you're done now. What else was on your mind? And it really is true that the texting is good for that. You know, those little, I'm over here, I'm at gate number 3 at the airport, come pick me up. But to really convey emotion, to make decisions, to apologize to one another, the texting doesn't cut it. And if that shallow relationship that our children, future teenagers, future married people, if they are used to simply a shallow type of communication that's so just one-dimensional, it is very difficult. And you know, you even think about Skyping one another, that you think, well, at least you're seeing each other face-to-face. Well, I tell you what, when I Skype my children, when I am away on a speaking trip or something, I mean, half the time, maybe more than half the time, they're just like making googly faces in the screen. You know, like, it's, if if I want quality communication in terms of really talking about their day and what's going on in their life, I'll say, okay, turn that off and let's just talk voice to voice because you are so distracted. And I think that's what texting does, is it gives you all these distractions at your fingertips so that your relationship is just one of many things happening instead of putting away that phone and really concentrating on the relationship. You know, one of the aspects is if for an apology, like if you just forgot to drop something off, you can text them, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to drop that off. You'll have to get that later. But if it's like, you know, I offended you this morning and I should apologize, that's something like if you text, I'm sorry, I was such a jerk this morning. Well, okay, that's good. But you probably still need to talk that out afterwards. And I think the texting in a relationship can leave you unsatisfied because you feel like that really never got resolved.
We're talking to author and speaker Arlene Pellicane, and we're going to take a quick break here on the Faith Radio Network. On the other side, we'll talk about the 5 steps to a healthy apology. If you have somebody in your life that you have wronged in some way, how do you apologize, but how do you do it the right way? Stick with us here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back. 7:48 at the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with my guest, Arlene Pellicane. We've been talking about this new study out of BYU showing how texting can negatively impact your marriage relationship. And Arlene, I thought it was interesting that when women use text messages to apologize or try to work out their differences, that doesn't go so well. And part of it is we know women are very relational, and those little words on that little mobile device don't quite cut it. And of course, sometimes our words can be misinterpreted. People can read into them. You and Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a wonderful book about a year or two ago on social networking and mobile devices, the impact that it has on kids. But of course, it's having the same impact on adults, sometimes in some unexpected, unanticipated ways. One of the things that you and Gary wrote in that book was how to have a healthy apology. And there are actually 5 steps to that. And I'm wondering if you could run through those with us, because I'm guessing that right now, this morning, we have folks listening to Faith Radio that need to apologize to somebody. And there is the right way and there's a wrong way to do that.
You know, you need to apologize to someone, or you're waiting. I'm waiting for someone to apologize to me. You can
don't hold
in.
Your breath, right? Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. You can take the first step, you know, but typically, you know, if you're texting, it's just like, sorry. And then you can, you know, it could be a really sincere sorry, or it could be like, sorry, you know, you don't know. So
right.
The real way to do that apology is step one is expressing regret. I'm sorry. The step two is accepting responsibility for what you did. I was wrong for snapping at you at breakfast, you know, or whatever it was that you did.
So you actually name it. You have to name what it was. You can't just say, I'm sorry for stuff. You have to say, I'm sorry for that's this specific behavior that I engaged in, and I apologize for it.
Yes, and I take responsibility. I'm the one. I was wrong about that. Making restitution is your third step. What can I do to make it right? You know, what can I do? Do I need to take you to dinner? Do I need to, you know, tell the third party that was involved that was there? Do I need to let them know, you know, I said something very offensive the other day and I have to apologize for that. So how can I make restitution? The fourth step is genuinely repenting. I'll try my best not to do that again. And that last step, requesting forgiveness, will you please forgive me? So, of course, you know, if it's a very minor offense, you can go through these very quickly. But if it's something that is a big deal, that is something that would carry over day after day after day, unless it was taken care of, that this is a very good process to go through, that Dr. Chapman actually, with a co-author, Jennifer Thomas, went through with the 5 languages of apology. And, you know, I remember with my husband, when we were newlyweds, our first big fight was in a apartment building in Dallas, Texas, where we first lived, and there was a neighbor moving in, and my husband said, can we invite Walter over for dinner? And I was a new wife. I did not know how to cook. I did not have an extra portion for our new friend Walter, and I said, no, we cannot have him over for dinner. And who did my husband bring home for dinner that night?
Oh, Walter!
So I opened the door and I was like, oh, hi, Walter. Oh, and I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to divide this chicken into three people? And I was just so, but of course, with Walter, I was really nice. And then after Walter left, of course, I was so upset. So, you know, James had to run through these five languages of apology. I remember he just tackled me, right? Just newlywed, just, you know, all clueless, just tackled me. And he looked at me eye to eye and he said, I'm sorry. And I was like, are you sorry because, you know, you just want to make up? Or are you sorry because you know what you did was really wrong? Because at that moment, I did not sense that what he did was wrong at all. Like, he didn't really grasp that. And so he needed to communicate to me, you know what, I am sorry. That was wrong of me to do that against what you had said. I will, you know, I'll help you clean the dishes to make restitution. I will try not to do that again. And please forgive me, you know, for inviting Walter over when you told me I couldn't. And you know, and he's done well. That was 16 years ago, and he's never invited anyone over when I said they couldn't come over.
Let's just hope that doesn't happen tonight, Arlene.
That's right.
Honey, the Queen of England is here, just to let you know. She's dropped by.
Oh, I got the hamburgers for her, dear. I'll get started.
Yeah. Now, we have to understand, too, I think all of us need to realize that sometimes that last step, when you ask the person, will you forgive me, the answer may be no.
Yeah.
And that can be really, really hard. Yeah.
And then that is that owning what's yours and leaving what you cannot do in God's hands. Like, if you have apologized, you have repented, you see the error of your ways, and you offer that, but they're not quite ready to forgive you, then you just got to day after day just ask God, God, please help this relationship to be restored. Because it takes time for trust to be rebuilt and all those things. So keep hoping and keep showing that you're worthy of that trust.
That's really well said. Now, getting back to the research that we talked about earlier with texting and its impact on marriage, the good news is that researchers found expressing affection via text actually enhances the relationship, which I thought was so cool. Does your husband ever do that?
Yeah, you once in a while. We're not huge texters. We see each other pretty often. So we're, you know, so it's usually like a joke. Like, if you see something, he's a realtor. If you see something funny in a house, he'll snap a picture real quick and just send that. You know, and then once in a while, he will send those little one or two liners. What was nice about the study also is it said that positive, you know, like, oh, I love you, take care, honey, I'm thinking about you, that it actually impacts the person sending it more than the person receiving it. So it feels so good to send a nice message to your spouse, to your loved one. And I thought that was a great angle, because we all know the idea that it's better to give than to receive. But to see that relationally, that while there's a lot of satisfaction when you are the one that's giving, and I think that's pretty cool.
Well, and it does certainly fit with how God calls us to reach out in love and to you know, encourage one another, to love one another. And you'll be happy to know, Arlene, that I regularly send little goo-goo notes to my wife by a text.
That's very nice.
So, I guess the bottom line in this entire study is, if you don't have something nice to text, better not to text at all, right?
That's right. Right. And keep your serious conversations, your decision making, your apologies, you know, all those things. Keep those voice to voice and leave the texting for other things.
And set the phone down when you're having those important conversations and turn it off, for crying out loud.
You don't need to hear any beeps.
No, way too many people try to have important conversations and they're interrupted by pings and notifications. And that is not going to help your relationship one bit. Arlene Pellicane, our friend and author, she's speaking right now in Scottsdale, Arizona to some MOPS groups. You can learn more about Arlene's books and her work and invite her to speak by going to ArlenePellicane.com, ArlenePellicane.com. Thanks, Arlene. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.